Hey, listener. This podcast is called Trigger Warning Romance for a reason. It is intended for an 18 plus audience due to the adult context and triggers that may be discussed in each episode. Please check the show notes for a full list of triggers and proceed with caution. You have been properly warned. It's time to count off the triggers.
Hello and welcome to Trigger Warning Romance, everybody. I'm Nat and I have a super special guest for you today. Jace from Jace Reads Romance is here and she has agreed to read one of my very favorite Omegaverses because we are both Omegaverse freaks in a good way. Winter's Arrow, a dark Snow White retelling by Lexi C. Foss. Welcome, Jace. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hi, y'all. I'm very excited to be here and also very grateful that Nat gave me an Omegaverse and not a deep, 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 dark mafia romance. So, thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, I was on Jace's podcast, if anybody hasn't listened to those two episodes, because we did a deep dive on dark romance and why it's so amazing. Go listen to that. It's available on pretty much wherever you want to go listen to a podcast episode.
All the places.
Because I was on the podcast, of course we went on tangents because why wouldn't we? And we went in an Omegaverse tangent and I was like, well, you should come on and talk about an Omegaverse with me because that's one of my favorite genres. My co-host Lo and I both love Omegaverse like to the nth degree. We were joking that we probably could just transfer this podcast to just be an Omegaverse podcast.
It's really funny because I have been reading romance for a very long time. If you don't know me, hi, I'm Jace, she, they. And I'm really a PNR person. So if you're not familiar with PNR, paranormal romance, and I have gone deep into werewolves, love me a werewolf, but I'd never heard the term Omegaverse until a few months ago, and I looked at the Wikipedia page. Just terrible idea, save yourself, don't do it. And I went, oh my gosh, this is absolutely nothing like anything I've read. And then I looked at my reading history and some of the things that I had read years ago were listed as Omegaverse. So I, you know, decided to dip my toe in again and read something, and it was called an Omegaverse. And I went, wait, that Wikipedia article is just so far off. That was scarier than the actual books.
Yeah.
And so I'd been avoiding the Omegaverse for a while and realized after delving back into these books that this is exactly what I like.
Yes.
I love a good shifter hormones, I can't help myself, fated mates kind of situation.
Yes.
All about it.
It's fantastic. Lexi has a whole bunch of these, which highly recommend. They're all fantastic. This one and book one in this series are like the darker ones in my humble opinion. Because there's like some non-con in this. There's some like power exchange and orgasm denial and forced orgasm. And like all the things that we like on Trigger Warning Romance. And the first one was like even more hardcore, if you will, in the like non-con department. Which we did. Lo and I did that book. That book, it's called X-Clan.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. I think that one, the first one was called Andorra's Sector. I'm sorry. So
the X-Clan is the name of the series.
I'm really bad at titles.
That's okay.
If you are. I can't remember titles.
Oddly enough, the thing that I'm worst at is names.
Mm.
I will never remember someone's name, but yes. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I have to write.
Because I also have notes.
Oh, yeah, I have notes too. Otherwise, like, there is absolutely no way we're going to get through any of this without notes.
Not at all.
But yeah, so Jace will come on. We will do an Omegaverse because we weren't sure which one we were going to do at first. I promised you a good Omegaverse that also has an element of like a fairy tale retelling because I know you like those.
I do.
So it was either this one, which is a Snow White retelling, or Omega Awakening, which is a Cinderella retelling.
It's on my list. You put it on my list.
That one is really good too. We, Lo and I covered that one.
I know. Jealous. And
you can still read it, baby. And I highly recommend you do.
I will.
But Snow White is my favorite Disney princess. This one is definitely like near and dear to my heart. I'm gonna ask you, like, did you see kind of the comparison? Did you like the road it took?
I did. So I am very much, I appreciate throwbacks to things that are connected. And I want to be very clear. This is not necessarily a Grimm's fairy tale retelling or a historical, the actual Snow White retelling. This is based in the Disney.
Yeah.
There are Disney references, but it doesn't throw it in your face. And sometimes I like the throw it in your face, but when it's dark, I appreciated that it wasn't so out there and they kind of just touched it. First reference, Winter, formerly known as Snow, it's revealed that there were multiple attempts on her life from the time that she was little to the time of this book. And one of them was a poisoned apple that it was an attempt that was thwarted, not by a prince, but by her bodyguards. And I liked that kind of a touch point where it isn't, here is a witch that presents you with this thing.
Yeah.
Exactly like the Disney version. But anyone who's seen the Disney movie is going to go, oh,
yep,
I know what they're doing there. It's like a little Easter egg for me. I like that.
Yeah, and her protective seven were clearly like the throwback to the dwarves. Even
only
their
one
names.
Of them was named. Only one was Doc, but the other ones were kind of jokey.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the names
that.
Were silly. I know there was like Grum.
Grum.
Yeah.
like Grumpy.
Yeah, and like Opie and like a bunch of silly names, which to me, I'm like, you know, if you're thinking like a hot shifter, like I don't think of a hot shifter named Opie. No offense to anybody named Opie.
No, but they're betas, so it doesn't matter. One of the things that I do love about just romance in general, but specifically when you're dealing with Omegaverse and when you're dealing with something niche and when you're dealing with retellings is how are you going to take this thing and put your own spin on it? Anytime there's a PNR, a paranormal romance, I am just chomping, like drooling with excitement about what are the rules of the world that this author is going to teach me. And I prefer that to someone who really leans heavily into our world.
Yeah.
And then just assumes you know what these things mean. Like, that's not fair. That's not what I want.
Yeah. I loved that this series was like almost like a dystopian world, like in the future where like there was a legit zombie apocalypse and like zombies took over the world and shifters came about to be and they're the only ones who are like immune to the zombie bites and they have like almost these like little colonies and you can kind of tell like where they were, like the North Sector and like the whatever sector. So many.
They mention, I mean, they do, it's not light. It is a truly apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
But they do mention established cities like Oslo, specifically. It's one of the ones that I remember them talking about.
Yeah.
Or Copenhagen, because Kazakh threw Mick into a zombie horde.
Yes.
Like missing a shot.
Yeah. Just. But I also love that like Kazakh was the huntsman, right? So like he was, because that was his nickname, because he was the... Like, he was like a hitman back in the day when humans were still kind of like around. Mm-hmm. And I loved his backstory of how he was a turned wolf.
Yeah.
Because. That,
oh, man.
Yeah.
I will say I really enjoyed the world and the kind of dynamics. So for those of you who are not Omegaverse people. And every author is going to have their own plan how this works. There are usually three categories of wolf shifter. There's alpha, there's beta, and there's omega. And I'm not going to generalize because each author gets to do what they want with that.
Mm-hmm.
But those categories interact and relate to each other very differently. And to not spoil it, usually alphas in this world are the leaders. They mate and can breed with omegas, and betas kind of live in the middle of this space, but they don't always live together. So Snow, when she's Snow, lives in Winter Clan, and it's almost entirely betas,
yes,
ruled by one alpha. Mm-hmm. And when we go to Norse Clan, I think it's Norse Clan.
Yep.
Look at my notes. It's many alphas and omegas. That's the general mix of them. And so I love that. I think that's so fun.
Yeah. I mean, omegas in this world and in most authors' worlds are very rare and like cherished and coveted by alphas because they're the only ones that can breed with an alpha. And they're also the only ones who can take a knot and like really satisfy an alpha sexually. Like they can take a good pounding like a beta can't.
Huge. It's a thing in this book that if an alpha tries to knot a beta, they will do severe damage and potentially kill the beta. Like internal damage.
Yeah. And they physically can't form a knot unless they smell omega pheromones. Oof. So it's like, it's crucial, right? Like, God, I love this book so much. and that's one of the things is like, because Enrique was another alpha that Snow, because we should say, like, it kind of starts with Kazek is. And Mick, who is the son of the alpha of the leader North. Alpha for the North sector, they're sent off to the Winter sector to celebrate this engagement between Beta Snow, because she thinks she's a beta, and this Enrique Alpha from the Barcelona sector, which is like baddie sector.
Dun, dun, horrible dun. Place.
And we find out that Snow has just learned that Vanessa, who is the alpha leader slash her godmother, I guess, or whatever.
Essentially, her parents died tragically when she's not even a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Vanessa essentially drugs her and convinces everyone that she isn't an alpha or an omega, that she is a beta, even though her parents were an alpha and an omega, and raises her hidden.
Yeah.
From the world until theoretically, like she can't ascend to be queen. She's the heir of this this sector. She can't be queen until she has an alpha mate.
Yes.
Even though she's a beta. Mm-hmm. So Vanessa betroths her to Enrique. You can't say that word with a straight face. I don't. betroths her to Enrique. And we start at their essentially engagement party.
Yeah. And Snow just figured out that Enrique and Vanessa are in cahoots to murder Snow after the wedding. And the way that we're going to do this is, again, alphas are rough. And we're going to say that Enrique just got overzealous and he literally fucked her to death. So no, it happens. You know, betas are weak and they can't take a nodding. So it happened.
That hurts like that.
And then Kazek is there and like whatever, things happen, and she challenges him in inadvertently because she's pissed about this whole situation and takes it out on him, and he is immediately smitten and like wants her, which
can I like give you a line that I highlighted,
please,
which I was like, dude, come on. But there's a line from really early in this book. It's so funny to me. It's chapter 6. Like, and but he says, regardless, a feisty female always intrigued me about her. Dude, it seemed like a few hours. Always. Like, I read this just like, it was so funny to me.
Yeah.
That he was like, feisty, look at you. And you're like, dude, it's been like 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half. Calm your tits.
But he's an alpha and nobody's ever feisty to him. So it's like a challenge. So he likes it. Also, we have to remember he is an alpha, but he was a human. So like the dynamic is a little bit different for him than for a born alpha.
I will say both of this, Lexi did a really great job of giving motivation and history behind these two characters. Mm-hmm. And you do get a sense of why they are the way that they are and how the conflict between the two of them has evolved. Like why they bash heads the way that they bash heads. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just, oh, it's because she's an Omega. Oh, it's because he's an Alpha. There's actual history there, which gives them a well-rounded feeling. Like, I feel like these are real characters that I can believe, and I don't have to suspend my disbelief that hard on why they make the decisions that they make.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
Anyway, so Snow decides that she needs to get, well, I should say the Seven, her like protective Seven, aka the dwarves, mm-hmm. decide that she needs to get the fuck out of there before Vanessa figures out that she knows that she knows. And so they put her on the plane because it's like the safest place to go. Alpha Ludwig is supposed to be a good alpha. And Doc knows like a little secret that, I'm going to say spoiler alert, guys. I mean, this whole thing is a spoiler. So like, if you haven't read the book, don't listen to this episode. Go read it and come back. But Snow is Alpha Ludwig's niece.
Adopted niece.
Yes.
So her mom was the adopted daughter of his parents. So they're not blood related.
Yes. But she's still his niece.
Oh, absolutely.
And he cares for her. Mm-hmm. And so they give her this necklace that was her mom's and is like, go to Alpha Ludwig, show him this necklace and he'll help you out. So I love this, they like cover her in like rotten fish and they put her on the plane where there is this other slave Omega. That's a whole other side point. We don't really need to talk about that.
I think it's another book.
It's book four. Yeah.
It's book four. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's because this is book three. So that's book four. Yeah. I think this is book three.
All right.
I think.
I don't know.
Whatever. It's a book in the series.
A book.
And we don't really have to talk about them because they get their own book, Mick and Carrie.
Carrie or Kari?
I have no idea.
K-A-R-I. One of them.
One of those. The lady with a K. Okay. She all sorts of fucked up because of her father, who's a bad alpha. But it's fine. That's like I said, next book's problems. We don't really care about them right now. They are a glimpse into the future, which is what I love about romance. It's like you can see it coming, you know? Like,
oh my gosh. Do you love or hate when you're in a romance tangent? And yes, there's a main couple, but you get a side couple that you know is going to have their own book or you can feel is going to get together later. Mm-hmm. And they intrigue you more than this couple.
I hate that, but also give it to me because then I'm just like really intrigued by what's happening. It just happened to me in Butcher and Blackbird because
oh my god, I'm so excited.
All I want is the next book of Leather and Lark because I need Lark to get fucked. Okay, I need her to get banged out.
I love that they, okay, so side note to Butcher and Blackbird, I love that they just dropped in that one scene. I think they fucked last night and it's called drama. And you're like, whoa,
they seem to hate each other, but also I'm pretty sure they fucked.
Oh, but that means you finished it. I finished it. We're going to talk when we're done recording because.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Anyway, so yeah, no, anyway. I'm totally for it. I'm totally for it. But then I get really annoyed.
I'm going to say that I did not wish to be watching Mick and Kari's relationship while I was reading this book. Mm-hmm. But like Ned said, it definitely teased and certainly the epilogue teased what was going to happen with those two characters next. So it was a little amuse-bouche for the next book.
Yeah. Those two, again, they're not my favorite. These two are my favorite in the whole series. So I don't feel like anything could have really steered me away from them.
No. So this book also, I think, zagged where I expected it to zig in a few moments. And so I think I stayed hooked. The moment that I'm thinking of where it really hit me was in the fight when Katso.
In which fight?
I'm like, there's so much plot that I have to get through to explain this. So in the fight in the arena, the waiting of the three days.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so maybe we should fill in the gaps. So Snow, and we're going to use Snow here. Snow escapes, hiding, smelling of rotten fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because Kazakh is trying to... he's like, why can't I get her out of my head? I feel like I still smell her. So weird. And then he realizes she's actually on the fucking ship. So he disembarks with Mick and Kari, and Mick takes Kari away and he waits for her and gets her. And it turns out that these strength pills that are very common for betas to be taking, and Snow assumed she'd been taking for her whole life, were actually suppressants, suppressing her omega tendencies. Mm-hmm. And she had stopped taking her strength pills the day before when she realized Vanessa was trying to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So she suddenly goes into heat. And who finds her? Kazakh. And he takes her to his cabin. And this is where it's going to be very, I think this is, you are going to laugh based on conversations that we've had before, but apparently when the dubcon is because of some sort of paranormal situation, like my hormones, I'm in heat, I don't fucking care. Drethi's 5,000 Nights of Recession, I was like, this is a little, anytime it's in the real world or contemporary or even mafia where it's normal humans and they're engaging in that situation, I'm like, I don't like that. But the minute it's because of some otherworldly paranormal situation, like the hors d'oeuvre, for thinking about Laura K. Hamilton or these hormones right now, I was like, I'm all for it.
Yes. I mean, no, I'm always all for it. But this makes it even better, in my opinion, because it's like roofies, but like hormonal roofies almost.
And it's always like hormonal roofies for your fated mate or for someone really great. It's not. And that's, I think, something that's that really appeals to us as humans, or maybe just me. The idea that you can be right and you can be sure of your partner. Mm-hmm. It is hard to be sure of a partner, especially if we're looking at how long they've known each other, you know, not even 24 hours after you've met. You might not think, oh, that's my life mate. Great. We're totally fated to be together and happy and wonderful for forever. But when you are grounded in that surety of the situation, it feels so secure and it feels so safe.
Yeah.
I love it too, buddy.
This world, it's like leveled up because of the paranormal aspect and because of the fated mates kind of aspect, because he was, that's the whole thing, Kazakh was all about this lady from the moment he saw her. And
he tried to follow her back at her castle.
Yeah.
He tried to follow her out of her engagement party to be like, hey,
I'm going to fuck you.
I'm going to fuck your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. All about it.
He was. And even to the point of, I think the slave Omega played a big part in it, because he said, and even to himself, like, this aroused Omega was in his hands, right? He was buckling her into the plane, and all he could think about was the beta with the dark eyes and the red mouth that he wanted to fuck so bad. And he was like, it makes no sense because she's a beta. Like, this is an Omega. I should want this one.
Right?
But he didn't, guys. He didn't want her.
He didn't want her at all. And I for some reason, I can suspend my disbelief way more when it comes to this paranormal stuff than it when it comes to real humans.
Yeah.
Because in real humans, it's hard. I'm like, don't settle for that man or whatever it is. I get way more angry. I'm like, girl, what are you doing? Don't do it. But with the Omegas, I'm like, congratulations.
Yes.
Amazing. Wonderful.
This is the one.
I'm so happy for you.
You're going to get knotted.
Let's work through this together and then live happily ever after.
Yeah. And also, like, this world just makes everything, I think because the stakes are so high, like, just makes everything hotter. Right?
Yeah.
Like, she snuck onto his plane. She snuck into his territory. And mm-hmm. she revealed as an Omega and went into heat, like, all at once. And Omegas have no rights. Right? And he said, because when he figured out that she was on that plane after when they landed,
yeah,
said she traveled here without permission. That gave her no rights, no safety, no protections. I could do whatever the fuck I wanted with her and no one would be able to hold me accountable.
It is amazing and it is terrifying, the roles and the rules sometimes of this kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
But as a reader, I find it very comforting, the black and the white of what's happening. And oh man, y'all, it's so hot.
Yes.
It's so, their coming together is so hot.
Yeah. I also, I'm going to say something maybe a little bit to this world, like a little too much, but I feel like because of what's happening in our world, at least in America right now, with women's rights being taken away mm-hmm. and like abortion rights being taken away and all that stuff, I feel like reading these kind of books where like the Omegas have no rights, they're just baby makers, like obviously there's a big kind of connection there.
Yeah.
But I find almost, like, it's disgusting to, not disgusting, but it's like weird to say to in my own brain. It's like I find it comforting because even they are okay. Like if they're okay, we'll be okay.
What I appreciated in this is even though there's that hierarchy, and you're right, Omegas are there. I mean, they're precious. But this book in particular really talks about, is that all we are?
Mm-hmm.
Are you only the roles that society is shouting at us, or is our reality different and we can be different?
Yeah.
And Kazakh and Winter and, oh man, who's the alpha of Norse and his wife?
Ludwig and Mila.
Ludwig and Mila. Look at you and your names.
Yeah.
Their relationship is not master-servant.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much more than that. And we see the example of Ludwig and Mila, and we see Kazakh and Winter fight against it and then move toward a real partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily out in public that they're doing these things to that extreme. They're, you know, they still adhere to their roles. But this is something that is important, is what is your private dynamic as a couple?
Mm-hmm.
And acknowledging that even if you're presenting as Alpha Omega, big umbrella, the reality of who you are as a couple is much more integrated. Yeah. That is comforting to know that even with such clearly defined roles, there doesn't have to be an uneven power exchange all the time. You can build really loving, beautiful relationships.
Yeah.
Even if you don't fight fair. I was mad at both of them. I was mad at both of them. Like, you both are being terrible to each other. And
yes, they.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's also relationships. I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you don't fight fair. You're like, ooh, that fight wasn't fair. And I was wrong. And I must apologize because that's, ooh, that was bad.
Yeah, I can understand that for sure. TMI, guys. If you're going to argue with your husband, just take off your shirt. Much, much easier to argue with a topless human and when you are topless. getting very distracted very easily. My husband doesn't listen to my podcast, so it doesn't. I can say these secrets, like
just and they stay secrets.
Yeah, and just like strategically start disrobing while I'm arguing, and then quickly I win. But back to the sex. Speaking of taking off your shirt and being sexy,
yeah,
she goes into heat. How hot was that scene? I'm sorry, like that was the
It was so hot, so hot. I'm literally at this. I'm looking at my Kindle and it's the beginning of chapter 7 and that's literally the first sentence is something strange had happened when he put his cock in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. It was then his pre-cum had hit my tongue, shooting clarity through my mind for the briefest of moments. That, I mean, heat is something that is so essential and paramount in this genre that omegas usually go into heat. It's a breathing cycle. It typically lasts for more than a single session.
Yeah.
In this world, it seems to last for about a week. And usually what happens at the end of it is a bubba or a pup or a puppet, as they said. So you basically fuck for a week. A week.
Yep.
Let me say that one more time. You fuck for a week and then you're pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah, you just get knotted for a week in every orifice.
Mm-hmm.
And because this heat was kind of brought on prematurely by her stopping those drugs, it's not a full heat. It's only 4 days. She basically like wakes up and it's been 4 days of fucking.
Yeah.
And there is no baby. Side note, I like that after this, Kazakh says, let's get some birth control for the next time you're in heat because no, thank you. We're not ready for a bubba or a pup, as they would call it.
I love the fact that he had to feed her cum sandwiches in order to get her to eat.
That happened. Did that happen during the heat or was that afterwards?
No, it's during.
That was so fucking funny. There's a line later. Oh, I felt on the verge of expelling the contents of my stomach, which I was pretty sure included a healthy dose of Kazakh's cum. Lol, girl, is the note that I wrote. But for real, lol, girl, you've been fucking for days.
So fucking hysterical because he's, again, alphas take care of their omegas. And so, like, we should say, like, he's telling her that she's an omega and she's telling him, no, I'm a beta. And like, Vanessa has fucked with me somehow and you think I'm an omega. So you're going to kill me with your knot.
Yep.
And so, because of that, she almost falls into this, like, she's dying because, like, her brain is telling her that she's dying because he's knotting her and he's not supposed to be able to.
And so she's in heat and, like, her body is all, her brain is saying she's dying. Her body is saying she needs to get fucked. She's not getting fucked. She's afraid. She literally is dying in his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gives her a mate bite.
Yeah.
He like makes her his mate.
I love me a mate bite. That's my favorite part was when they bite the like, that like shoulder neck part.
Yeah. It's
just so primal and hot.
It's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
I wish hickeys were just more acceptable in the world. Like, is because you have to hide them. Like, if you're someone who's a
30-year-old lady, yes.
Just like anyone who's into any sort of play, not just biting, but if you're into any sort of impact play or any sort of or even bondage or something like that, where there are marks, you then have to be incredibly modest.
Yeah.
No, I know it's July. But a shawl seems the right decision. And it's nice that they basically celebrate all the fucking. They walk, they have a ceremony and he like fills her with his cum and they walk naked into the Norse. North or Norse?
I think it's Norse, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think too. Into the Norse clan. And everybody's like, oh my God, look at you just like fucking your mate. Isn't that beautiful and wonderful? And we're going to acknowledge and celebrate that.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, great. You're just covered in cum.
Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, let's make a chocolate fountain. We really like a chocolate fountain.
We really like sweets.
Yeah. We like making cakes and all sorts of stuff. I love me a forced, like a forced mating is one of my favorite situations. I don't care what it says about me. And
again, I can accept it when it is a fated mate situation.
Okay.
I am so on board when it is a fated mate's hormones. I need you. And like out of my, I don't know why that is totally fine with me. If you're like Rena Kent, God of Fury, I'm just going to coerce you into oral sex. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that one. Oh man. I like a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one. Kazakh's mouth coaxed a river of want to flow in open welcome.
Yes. Please.
Oh my gosh. No notes.
No, this was a perfect, like, 10, you know?
Yeah.
Everything I wanted in this book, because yes, there's non-con, but again, like, it's kind of like a forced non-con situation.
Yeah.
A lot of mine, because he's so territorial, like, fuck this, the dominant predator inside me took over, my teeth sinking into her neck before I could further consider our options. Mine. Like, that's all he wanted was just mine, mine, mine. And anybody who's listened to the podcast knows I love mine. So I feel like when it's a shifter alpha world, it's just mine to the nth degree because it's like a primal thing in their brain.
Yeah.
And just like put it in my veins. I want it all the time.
This is where we're going to end part one of our episode because as per usual, Nat can't shut up when talking about Omegaverse. So this episode was way too long to put out all in one. Please tune in next week when Jace returns and we finish up with part two of Winter's Arrow by Lexi C. Foss. Happy reading, everybody. See you next week. Take care. Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, please don't forget to rate and review us on whichever podcast platform you listen on. Not only do we really appreciate those 5-star reviews, but they also help the algorithm suggest us to other listeners. And if you just can't get enough of us, please make sure you're following us on all our socials. We're at Trigger Warning Romance on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads. If you want to connect with us and other Trigger Tribe members, join the Facebook group. It's Trigger Warning Romance, a dark romance podcast listener support group. You know we're always happy to hear from you, so please don't be shy with the book recs, episode ideas, or just say hello. Please slide into our DMs, email us at triggerwarningromance@gmail.com, or connect via our website, triggerwarningromance.com. Happy reading, everyone!